well-beloved friends and family and boys and girls, as we are again here gathered with a few of us in church and you at home, we are in the presence of God, and we are to remind ourselves this day that Psalm 87 says that the Lord taketh pleasure in the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Not less, but more. And yet, he didn't say he doesn't love the dwellings of Jacob. When you are gathering at home, also in the moment of worship with your families, and we hope that we may experience here and where you are his presence in these trying times. The call to worship is found in Psalm 117 tonight. And perhaps it's an amazing call to worship, but it says, "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." Even in these circumstances, we have reasons to do that. So may I lead you in prayer and receiving of God's blessing. Our help is in thy name, O Lord God. In thee who has made the heavens and the earth. In thee who keepeth truth forever, never forsaking the works of thy hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before us him, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. We will sing now together with Psalter 228. And it's one of these psalters that we have sang often. And now we maybe feel a little bit of what the poet was experiencing who longed to be in the house of God. Lord God of hosts, in mercy, my supplication hear. Almighty and all faithful, our Father's God, give ear. 228. 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
Let me read now with you from the book of Psalms, and thereof Psalm 9. Psalm 9 will read this psalm to the chief musician upon Muth Laban, which is uncertain what it really means, but it is a psalm of David. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou settest in the throne, judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion, and declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they have made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higayon, Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. Let's to make together also a confession of our faith, and this with the words of the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, I believe in holy, Catholic, or universal church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us now together call upon the name of the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, Thou art a refuge and a strength in time of trouble. And Lord, how precious would it be if all of us would be able to say with that poet of Psalm 46, "And therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though all our securities will slide into the sea. But Thou knowest, O gracious God, the hearts of all of us here gathered, and gathered at home, and gathered around our homes, and wherever we may be in this evening. Thou readest our inmost hearts, and Thou knowest what disquietness, what fears there may be in multitudes of people, but also in multitude of professing Christians, shaken on the foundations upon which they thought they stood. And O God, we confess, we are not as brave as we sound. We're not as strong as we think. And we are not as right as we imagined. And may that, O God, also in these days in which Thou art chastising the world as well as the church, be the fruit in all of our hearts to make us realize how weak we are. Thou hast caused our world around us to shake. Thou art making us realize that our coverings are not quite covering us, that our securities do not insulate us from evil and can also not protect us, Lord, even not from death. And therefore we pray, O great God, that Thou would exercise Thy remnant that Thou hast left in this world, and we may believe also among us and surrounding us, that Thou, O gracious God, would cause that remnant to be exercised with increased prayer, to stand in the breach of the prayerless multitudes around us. And, O God, and Thou must give us prayer. Thou must exercise it in our hearts. Not so be occupied with ourselves and with our own families, though that is important, but to be exercised, Lord, with that petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Hallowed be Thy name." What would it be, O God, and great outcome, that if through these trials Thou wilt indeed glorify Thyself and humble man at Thy feet. Lord, we pray, teach us to pray. Teach us to wrestle, even for our enemies and for Thy enemies that know not Thee, that are ignorant, O God, of Thy truth and of Thy beauty and of Thy glory. Thou art opening doors. Thou art creating opportunities and circumstances for Thy church to shine the true light. and to shine a bright light. There may be opportunities this week, Lord, we have to speak to distressed hearts, or maybe even angry hearts, hearts that will curse Thee for allowing this and bringing this upon us. Give us then, O God, a word in season, courage to speak. Enable Thou Thy people to be a beacon of hope in this so uncertain day. And Lord, therefore, our cry is to Thee this evening. May we, as Jehoshaphat of old, say, our eyes are upon Thee, O Lord. Will Thou enable us, empower us? Will Thou fill Thy children with Thy Spirit to deliver us from the fear of men and the lukewarmness of our heart, and to cause us to be prophets wherever Thou art pleased to place us? And Lord, we read in this psalm indeed that there is nations that forget Thee. O God, we pray, let the world stand in awe of Thee. Let this nations of the world learn there is but one King, to learn that Thou art the King, but also to learn what King Thou art. O blessed Lord Jesus, exalted on the throne. And as it has been revealed to us in the book of Revelation, it is Thou that are executing the very decrees in the book of God. And even Thou art pouring out the vial of Thy judgment upon every aspect of our society and of mankind. And Lord, that is comforting to know that Thou art in control of this, that Thou art overruling it. And it is therefore our petition tonight that when Thy judgments are in this earth, that Thou wilt teach the inhabitants of the world righteousness. Begin with my heart, Lord. Begin with our heart as we sit here in church. Begin with our hearts as we are gathering in our homes. Will Thou please reach down through all this to touch us and to make us really realize why we need Thy saving grace, Thy sanctifying Spirit, why we need this blood of Christ cleansing us and washing us. O faithful God, we plead with Thee, let the light of Thy glory be seen through the lives and the testimonies, the walks and the sacrifices, the love of Thy people. And Lord, in that way we may be full of expectation that Thou would use these trials to promote Thy kingdom. As I was reading this sermon this week again of Jonathan Edwards, Lord, and hundreds of years ago, exercised also with the promise in Zechariah that many people and many inhabitants of many cities shall come to seek Thee, the Lord of hosts, and pray before Thee. Lord, may we see this. Thou ordained the mouth of Nebuchadnezzar in the days of old to give a doxology and a confession that stands still recorded for us today. And what will let Thee, Lord, to touch the silent lips of the great men of this world, great in their own thoughts, but really not great at all, and to touch their lips and to cause them to acknowledge, here is the finger of God, greater than me, than us, than all of us together. And so we gather here tonight again for time for instruction. And Lord, as often we do in times of personal, family, and church distress, we turn to the book of Psalms. And we thank Thee, O God, for this book of prayers, of cries, of praises that Thou hast given to us also to be used in our struggles today. We thank Thee for the honesty, the openness that so many of the psalmists show, that they are also but weak, frail, full of doubts at times, even more sins of anger, sins of unbelief, sins, O God, that they confess before Thee. And who of us cannot, Lord, say that is also our portion, our life? But bless us with the spiritual life that these men also display, the faith that they confess, the hope that they may nurture. May we also tonight, out of this ninth psalm, receive instruction. Lord, bedew us with Thy Spirit and bless us as we are listening and considering Thy message to us. And we pray particularly for the unsaved portions of our congregation. Pray, O God, that Thou wilt prevent the unconverted to be comfortably unconverted, to continue to live in false peace, to continue to live as if there is no eternity standing at the door of every day. We pray that Thou would graciously stir the hearts and awaken consciences. We pray for those who are restless, who are disturbed in heart about sin and judgment. O God, lead them to the only rest there is to be found in Jesus Christ alone. In His blood and righteousness there is hope, even for the most and the chiefest of sinners. And Lord, we pray for our children. It is hard for them perhaps to understand the gravity and the seriousness of the days which we are facing. And it's even for us as adults, Lord, so unreal yet. And we may not know what comes. We pray that our young people, our children, may have impressions wrought in their heart now, early in their life, that may guide them and bless them all the days of their life. Satisfy them, Lord, early with Thy mercies. So look upon us now as we separate ourselves for a moment to hear the word and open the mouth of Thy servants. Help us all to preach faithfully, to be prophets as well as pastors. O God, we ask it in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Let's join together in Psalter 161. And there's a few selection of verses I chose, so listen up. We'll start with verse 1, and then verse 4, 5, and 6, and then the last one, verse 9. So verse 1, my soul in silence waits for God, my Savior, He has proved. And then verses 4, 5, and 6, and then verse 9. Wort. In the years 1573 to 1574, almost a year from October to October, was the city of Leiden in the Netherlands besieged by the Spanish soldiers, cut off from all food supplies and commerce in that very trying year. It nearly broke the city. But on October 3, 1574, God blessed the efforts of the forces to break the siege. And on the Sunday after of that particular October 3, in the churches in Leiden, Psalm 9 was sung and read and preached from. So that historical connection of that psalm to today is hopefully clear to you. We are besieged today, not by Spanish soldiers, not by Spanish flu, but by a source of threat to us and our lives. Yesterday, every hour in New York City, one person died of this virus. And in the last 2 days, 500 to 600 people died in Italy as a result of this virus. This is a massive shock and a dangerous situation. And we haven't seen yet where this will lead in our own country and whether God will bless the efforts that we are rightly taking to avoid that manner and massive amount of dying people. But now back to Psalm 9. You notice what in Psalm 9 is standing out in the worship of the poet. It's an attribute of God we often don't worship. It's the attribute of God's justice. It's not one that comes naturally to our mind when we praise God and we worship God as we think about God's dealings. But in this psalm, the poet exalts God as just and powerful and good. I draw attention this evening not so much to those passages of the psalm, but I'd like to draw attention this evening to the passages of the psalm that has a pastoral tone. Look at the psalm in verse 9 and 10, for example. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. And again, notice in verse 11, and verse 12, I mean, the last part, he forgetteth not the cry of the humble. And then once more in verse 18, for the needy shall not always be forgotten, and the expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. In these passages, the poet is almost like a pastor, speaking to this distressed heart of the people who are suffering, who are afraid. We're fearful about the circumstances that are developing around them. And he encourages them to look out of themselves and above the circumstances and beyond the present moment to the revelation of God's gracious and good name. Now may the Spirit of God guide us, friends, as we perhaps feel somewhat downcast. Maybe you feel afraid here as you sit here. Or maybe we don't have much fear, thinking, this is not going to touch me or us, because it's far away from us. It's not far away from any of us. And so, whatever our thoughts are this evening, let us listen to what God has to say to us through this psalm. And the intention of this psalm and the psalmist is that we would place our trust in God alone. That is the central verse of the entire Bible. The center of the Bible is found in Psalm 118. I'm here talking about the exact center of the Bible. And the exact central verses of the Bible are these two. Psalm 118, verse 8 and 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. That's the whole message of the Bible on this aspect. Don't put your trust in man. Let's not put our trust in our superb organization. Let's not put our trust in thinking our medical resources will handle this, or our combined efforts will handle this, or our experienced organizations will cause us to beat back this war. And we hear sometimes voices like this, perhaps to boost our confidence, but sounding overconfident. Not sounding humble, not sounding, by the grace of God blessing us, we may be overcomers in this battle. And so that's the message also here for us tonight. It's encouraging. Let's heed God's voice, friends. In Jeremiah 9, verse 23 and 24, the Lord very briefly gives this direction to the prophet Jeremiah. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Our hope tonight is that the God of the universe is not a dictator with a cold heart. The ruler of this universe is Jesus Christ, who has a heart that is full of compassion, who delights to exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. And notice these three combined: judgment, loving kindness, and righteousness. God causes pain. And he does, and he will do that in our society as we need it. As he has delivered us in the hands of a plague, but his intent is not to crush us under his feet. His intent is to draw us to his feet, to be humble together. And let that be the burden of our prayer in the days in which we live, that the Lord may use this entire judgment to bring us together to stand in awe and to bow in humility before him. Now, the psalmist gives us three reasons to place our trust in God tonight. Let me focus mostly on verses 9 and 10 with you. There's three reasons that he gives to place our trust and to look unto God alone. The first one is because the Lord God is a refuge for the oppressed and refuge in times of trouble. The context of our circumstances today is God's judgment upon the nations. That's also where this psalm was written. The context of this psalm, though the circumstances are not known, but it seems when you read the psalm, there is a judgment felt. And friends, you notice in verse 17, it speaks about the nations are forgetting God. Aren't we doing that? Now, it's in a certain sense worse. The nations then were forgetting God. The nations today, especially our nation, is rejecting God. What we witness today is verse 15 and 16. It says the heathen are sunk down in the pit that they have made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. This is what's happening today. Perhaps you remember January 25, 2019. What happened? It's too long for us to go and too far removed from us. But that's when this massive dam in Brazil broke loose and flooded the valley and took hundreds of people along. And why did the dam break? And because it was eroded. It was neglected. It was undermined. It was man's own doing that caused that disaster. Here we are today. God says this is man's own doing. The heathens are sinking in the pit they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. If you are a Bible reader, and particularly if you are an Old Testament Bible reader, you could have predicted this. Without being a prophet, called to be a prophet. If we read the history of our Old Testament histories, we could have predicted this. This was coming. As you read to it, as we saw this morning in the book of Judges, this constant cycle. A nation that forgets God, a nation that rejects God, will become a nation that will feel the hand of God. That's why in the Jewish literature, the historical books in the Old Testament are called the early prophets. Isaiah and so on are called the latter prophets. Why do they call them the early prophets? Because history is prophetic. God will indeed do again and again with a nation and the nations what he did with Israel. When we forsake God, God will forsake us. Now the virus that we face today is a real threat. As I already mentioned, how many deaths occurred in Italy even in one day. And friends, many of us feel afraid and perhaps vulnerable. And we do not know what the end of this week will bring in our own congregation. We don't stand above and outside of this. Let's not think lightly of that. And if this sickness will not touch us physically, it will touch us in another way. It will touch us emotionally. It will touch us socially. It will touch us financially. It will touch us economically as a nation. It will touch us somehow. And we're all going to feel something of this hand of God upon us. And yet, what is greater fearful reality that we actually don't hear much about, even at this moment. It's not this virus. The fearful reality is our sins that defile us, that anger God, that cause him to bring his judgments upon us. Just may I remind you of a passage of Jesus in Matthew 10 when he says something that I think also has great application for today. Matthew 10:28, he says, "And fear not them that kill the body." Now he's referring here to people in a context, but we can also think of viruses. Fear not them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And beloved, as we think about that now for a moment together here this evening, sin is something more fearful than a virus. And let us pray together that that may take hold of us. You notice we do hardly anything to stop sin. see the combined efforts of nations and of our state, rightfully so, to stop the spread and to cleanse and to disinfect everything. Oh, what would this be a different world if this type of vigilance attention would be given to the spread and the defilement of sin? What would be a different society when this would marshal forth in and through us the attention against sin? Now, in that context, we feel and we hear God's voice speaking in this psalm. And perhaps some of you feel oppressed tonight. And I hope and pray that we may all sense that, the oppression of our troubled hearts, an oppression that causes us to feel afraid. Of what? Of meeting God. How can I meet God? How can I stand before Him if this would become my death? Maybe you feel this evening something of that distress in your heart. And now listen, in the thunders of all of these judgments, there is a message of hope. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Literally, it says in our text, He will be a secure high place. He will be in place that will insulate us from trouble. He will be in place that will safeguard us from oppression and from troubles and from dangers. He will be as an eye in the storm. He will be as a high place above all the tumult of this world. This is what the poet says, and this is what God says to us tonight. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed and a refuge in times of trouble. God invites us to look to Him now. God urges us and calls us, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. God invites us to turn away from all the false security. God is challenging us to think about our security. Is it right? Is it stable? Is it biblical? Is it right between me and God? Friends, this is the call that comes near to our heart in these days. And blessed are all they who may, as a poor and an afflicted heart, find their trust in the Lord, who is a refuge for the oppressed and a refuge in times of trouble. And God says He has a remnant like that. I will leave in thee, midst of thee, an afflicted and a poor people who shall trust in the name of the Lord. And there they are secure. There they are safe. Now the second encouragement to trust in the Lord is His name. Note that in verse 10, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. They that know thy name. Poet is certainly thinking more than just knowing, memorizing. The Hebrew word know thy name is he who duly considers, who really contemplates and really deepens out his understanding of the name of God. They that know thy name are the people who are grasping the meaning of God's name. Now, name. Name in the Bible is always God's revelation of Himself. God reveals Himself by names. That's why He has so many names. His most well-known name is Jesus, Savior, Christ, the Anointed, Lord, Jehovah, God of the Covenant, I am that I am. These are his most well-known names. Rock of ages. Yeah, there are so many revelations of God in the names that he has given us. And what shines through in these names is his character. Now notice in our text, the name that is mentioned is the word Lord in capital letters. This is the Jehovah name. This is the name by God reveals himself as the I am that I am. Now friends, it is fruitful today to meditate on this name. I am that I am. I have not changed. I am the faithful one. I am the God of mercy. I am the God of grace. I am the God who has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I am the God who is abundant in forgiveness. I am the God who is long-suffering. That's the name of Jehovah. And therefore, they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. The name of God, friends, is most wonderfully revealed in the history of Israel. Yeah, we see the name of God in his faithfulness, in his goodness, in his mercy, in his holiness, in the life history of Israel, Jacob, David, Peter. When you read the stories of these people, how they failed God, how they continually turned away from God, how they committed spiritual adultery. If you read their stories, don't forget, you read God's story, not their story. Yeah, the stories of these people are not about the people. They're about the God of these people. When we hear the name, the God of Jacob, that's encouraging. That is so encouraging that he is faithful to Jacob. What a fleshly, carnal, unfaithful, backsliding man he was. And yet he is Jacob's God. It's about God's revelation. From the beginning to the end, God tells us in his scriptures, he is moved within himself to be merciful. He is sovereign in his display of his grace. There is nothing in us that stirs God's grace. There is everything in us that stirs God's anger and judgment. And still, he reveals himself in this name, name of Jehovah. Oh, view this depth of God's name mostly in the face of the glorious Son, Jesus Christ. It is there that you and I see the deepest into the name of God when we look and follow his Son. As he loved his enemies. As he gave his Son for God forsakers, for God belittlers, for God forgetters. And so now, back to our text words, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. His call tonight, his call to us, is as people, in whom do you trust? Answer that for yourself for a moment tonight. In whom or in what do you trust? Maybe you're young people. You say, well, I'm just young. I have a lot of years to go yet. I trust that will be well because I am healthy today. I will be able to get through this. Foolish talk. Foolish thoughts. Examine where your trust is tonight. Is your trust in these troubling times in Jehovah? Are you and I looking to Him? Are you and I expressing in whatever personal words and brokenness and simplicity, Lord, I put my trust in Thee. Examine that. Is that words or is that real? Is that copying a statement or is that the expression of your heart? I place my trust in Thee, O God, who has revealed Thyself in Thy name as the God of grace. And even more when you feel your heart troubled about your sin. If you feel tonight, Lord, this judgment is upon this world because of me. I am part of the problem that Thou art indeed showering these judgments upon us and our children and our communities. Now what does Peter say to people who in their heart are pricked and convinced? He says, my friends, repent ye, my brethren, repent ye. Own your sin. Name and shame your sin. Humble yourself because of sin. But don't despair. There is with God forgiveness. Repent ye and be ye baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's read again our text. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed and refuge in times of trouble. And they that know Thy name will put their trust in Thee. Let's sing together first. Psalter 82, the three verses. 82, defend me, Lord, from shame, for still I trust in Thee. Since just and righteous is Thy name, from trouble set me free. And that second verse starts so precious, and let it be, and may it be, your and my own confession. Thee, for my rock, I take my fortress and my stay. So 82, let's sing all three verses.
Just and right.
take court. God is seeking that we would put our trust in Him tonight. And He's giving us two encouragements. He says, I am a refuge for the oppressed. Though you caused your own oppression and though you caused your own troubles, it's not my doing. I will still be a refuge to you. And the second encouragement we saw is His name. What a name. And God, who is sovereignly moved to show grace and mercy. And now He gives us a third encouragement. It's one of the sweetest verses in the Bible. That last part of verse 10. For Thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek Thee. What an encouraging verse that is. This is not David's opinion. This is not David's experience. This is God's declaration. I will not forsake them that seek me. That's what it says. It doesn't even say, I will not forsake those who find me. Or I will not forsake those who trust me. Or I'll forsake those who confess me. No, tonight he stoops much lower. He says, I will not forsake you who seek me. What an encouraging word that is. Maybe you do not dare to say you found him. Maybe you don't dare to say tonight I have confessed him. Maybe you don't dare to say I have trusted in him. But may I ask you tonight, can you deny that you're seeking Him? God knows whether you are a seeker. And you know whether you are a seeker. And God's promise is, I will not forsake them that seek me. To seek the Lord in earnest, dear congregation, to seek the Lord in earnest, you know what that is? That's an evidence of God's grace already. There is not a single heart that would seek Him. There is not a single soul that would seek the Lord in earnest and call upon Him. Nothing will make a man seek God, but God's grace alone. Sure, there's many that will seek. There are many that will call upon the Lord. There'll be many that in these days indeed will in some way begin to think of God. But there's also many that don't. Sadly, we will see today again what the book of Revelation said repeatedly in the chapter where God spoke about the vials of wrath He poured upon the earth. And repeatedly the phrase, and they repented not. That's what man's response will be. Unless God pours upon us more than the vials of His judgments. We need His grace. And God makes us seekers. Indeed, He does it sometimes by pressing home the troubles outwardly. You see, so often people came to Jesus because of sickness or death in their families. And He caused it, He used it to bring men and women at the feet of the Lord Jesus. God can use, indeed, convicting words, pricks our conscience and shows our guilt through all kinds of ways and means to bring us to truly seek Him. And listen to it again. Thou, Lord, shall not forsake them that seek Thee. In some way, this is a time in which God's church ought to be full of expectation. Expectation about what? About what God is going to do. This is God's hand. This is God's interaction. This is God's response. But what will it bring out? What will it bring forth in us, in our churches, in our families, in your and my heart, and in the nation around us? And friends, when it brings you and me to seeking after God, and we have here a promise, I will not forsake them that seek me. Are you one of those that often lifts up your heart to God, O Son of David, have mercy upon me? Are there moments indeed that you and I unbear our heart before Him? O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Not a phrase, not a repeat prayer, but a prayer in which you seek God, calling upon Him, wrestling before Him, on behalf of others and on yourself because of the sins that press us down. You see, therefore, this verse is not only personal, it's also for churches, it's also for the nation. When we are seeking God to turn our country back, seeking God to turn our churches back, seeking God to awaken the unsaved in our churches, our unsaved children, our unsaved spouses, or unsaved grandparents. We are seeking God, and He says, I will not forsake you. That's an encouragement, isn't it? And maybe you say, oh, I fear I will be cast off. I fear I will be denied. I fear that God will not look upon me. Look at this verse. Are you seeking Him? Are you calling upon Him? Are you wrestling with Him? Is this need driving you in your inner chambers to seek God? Then your fears are unfounded. He will not forsake you when you are learning to forsake your sin and to forsake every man and the legs of a man and the resources of a man and the solutions of a man. He will not forsake you when you seek Him in these trying days. That is His promise. Romans 10 verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why? Because He will not forsake them that seek Thee. Now, what is the deepest reason that God will not forsake guilty sinners? What is the ultimate, deepest answer upon this question, that God will not forsake them that seek Thee? Oh, may I draw your attention to one that was forsaken. Though he called, and though he sought, who had to say, I am a worm and no man, and who had to cry out there on the darkness of Golgotha's cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There's your answer. Why will God not forsake those that seek Him? It is only possible because He forsook Jesus His Son, the righteous one, who was made sin, was forsaken. And therefore, since He satisfied the demands of justice, and since He honored the law of God, and since He took the transgression of the remnant of His people upon His own shoulders, therefore, God, for His sake, can declare, I will not forsake those that seek me. And that learn to place their trust on my Son to find righteousness and pardon of all their sins. And therefore, congregation, friends, if you are among such a needy, burdened, troubled sinner, and I may say to you with verse 18, as David did, the promise of God for the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. What a comfort. That is, as we feel the ground shaking, we feel our needs increasing, we feel our poverty all the more, that God will not forsake them that seek Him. Amen. Let's close with prayer. Gracious and eternal God, let this message of this ancient poet, speaking also tonight, thy voice to us, voice of encouragement, a voice of promise, a voice to direct us, Lord, away from all our resources, all our grounds of comforts outside of the living ground of comfort, Jesus Christ. And we pray, O God, that thou would indeed draw us and lead us and teach us, that we may be such who may take their refuge in this glorious truth of the gospel, that thou hast opened a door, that thou hast provided a refuge, thou hast given salvation in and through thy beloved, and at his expense. And Lord, as we briefly pointed to that, thou forsook him in order to embrace sinners. Thou let him sink in the depth of hell to provide a refuge for hell-deserving sinners. O mystery of thy name. And as we together, Lord, touched on that this evening in our thoughts and meditation, please unfold the truth of this passage as we meditate on this week more and more. Lead us, Lord, into knowing thee. Lead us into trusting in thee. Lead us to search our lives and to repent, to name and shame our sins. Lead us, Lord, to wash ourselves again in that fountain thou hast provided in Jesus Christ. Teach us how to do that. Teach us, Lord, the life of grace, and that all these trials and these clouds that we now so fear may indeed in the end burst with blessings on our hearts, in our heads, and in our hearts, in ways we could never have anticipated. Lord, we are to be filled with expectation, for there is a people who have been asking thee to revive the church and to affect the nation. And we pray indeed that this may be a forerunner for thy work spiritually. O God, may it please thee to multiply petitions on that matter, that we may not give thee rest until thou hast established thy throne in the hearts and lives of nations and of people. And God, we pray, protect us, guide us, bless our leaders, strengthen all those who are on the front line of this serious disease. Please provide wisdom, provide calmness, but also provide spiritual blessings. We ask all this, O gracious God, with a confession of our sin and unworthiness. And may that become a feeling confession for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's conclude with Psalter 72. All the verses, again, an encouraging confession of David. Lord, hear me when I pray, and answer me in grace. Oft as I hear thee say, come ye, seek my face. My heart and lips their answer speak, thy face, Jehovah, will I seek. All four verses of 72. Receive now the blessings of God and let us go together in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.